This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchups episode. This episode, we're looking at the offense matchups for the Ravens versus the Texans in their Week 5 tilt on Sunday. Joining me, as always, to do that is Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for the offensive show. Had a real good defensive show talking about really the upcoming talent that we could see develop versus the Texans, and then also how the linebackers can fare versus Stroud without Roquan Smith being in the game.
I want to see the pass rush get it together in a game like this versus a very poor offensive line. Hopefully put out an effort where they get some pressure on Stroud at least. And they've a lot of that really is centers around Travis Jones being able to play. Travis Jones hurt is not something I like to have on the field. I don't think he's nearly as effective, but he still is one of the players the Ravens have that actually commands a double team and can be the battery for your pass rush. Also want to see the Ravens secondary make it difficult for C.J. Stroud. To do that, it's a lot of young players who will see time in this game, maybe T.J. Tampa, Keon Martin. We might have an activation of Marquise Robinson to look forward to. Could even have Jair Alexander come back. Might have some problems at safety, particularly with a groin injury that showed up on Thursday on Wednesday. But he showed up on the injury report on Thursday for Kyle Hamilton. So they're going to need to find a way to play ball together. We might see Alexander for the first time since the opener. I think they kind of are getting close to a fish or cut bait time that we talked about with that. And hopefully he can get on the field and play some good football. That group needs to play as a unit if the Ravens are going to have a good day against Stroud.
Yep.
Let's jump over to the offensive side of the ball. I'll start out this episode. We'll talk about Todd Monken versus Burke, the defensive coordinator for the Texans. And I think the biggest thing about this game is you have to run the offense differently when you have Cooper Rush at quarterback from Lamar Jackson. And we've seen basically what this means in the past with even quarterbacks like Tyler Huntley. Now, Tyler has a little bit of speed and is able to outrace some players, but he's not anything but a straight line running threat. So the read option isn't very valuable with Tyler Huntley. With Cooper Rush, you got to go another step. Now you really can't do much in the way of a read option. Not that you can't run it once per game, but you can't run it 8 times per game.
Right.
You have to maybe go back to some concepts that we saw in the Flacco era to create time and space using potentially the play action boot. So that being available again, and the defensive backside edge defender is not so focused on Rush on a play like that. They certainly are going to buy the fake to Derrick Henry on a zone play going to the opposite side, that you can get a little bit of extra time and space for Cooper Rush to get outside the pocket and create an opportunity for a throw at one of three levels. And that's really what they try and do with that boot most of the time. So hit a deep over or hit the go route. Would help if they had some of their true vertical threats available for this game, including Walker, but he's now on the injury report. Otherwise, I think a lot of the passes are going to have to be ones that don't rely on time and space. They're going to have to be the quicker throws. Zay Flowers' role, I think, will be downgraded within this offense. I don't think you can run as many deep crosses with him, some more slow developing routes that take time. And Cooper Rush is able to get the ball out of his arms late. The tight ends and Bateman, on the other hand, will have their play magnified. The tight ends, because they work off play action very well, and Bateman, because he's the best on-schedule route runner the Ravens have. And they will try and, I'm sure, use a bunch of different top-of-the-stem moves to make sure that opposing cornerback, and it might be Darryl Stingley in his case, is thrown off as much as possible. It's a very limited offense without Lamar Jackson. It's completely different. And the first step towards dealing with it is recognizing that you have the problem and you have to do things differently. Hopefully the Ravens find ways to get the box unpacked versus Cooper Rush and give some opportunities for the run. But if that's not the way the Texans are playing, if the Texans are completely crowding the line of scrimmage and forcing the pass, you got to go with it and you got to be good with your on-schedule throws. So the Ravens have been massively out-snapped. They need to work together on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, to make sure that doesn't happen again. So they need some good stops on defense, some turnovers, and on offense, they need to have some drives that get sustained with a couple of first downs. Play some small ball, move the ball so your defense can be a little bit more effective than what they've been so far, with being, you know, worn down by both their own failures and the failures of the offense.
Yeah, completely agree with everything you said. Really, this is a crucial game for Monken to get, for some reason, John Harbaugh off his back. This week, he didn't have the best presser when it came to talking about the offense, even though they're 15% of our problems right now. And he seemed to take an earful during the presser. So I really want to see Monken come out and bring some concepts for the team and make it easy on Rush. I really want to see a lot of Derrick Henry. I really want to see Henry all day if this offensive line will allow it. If not, then we really have to rely on, moving into my next topic in lieu with yours, the Ravens' quick game versus the Texans. It's really essential that we are able to make yardage on screens, whether it be wide receiver screens, halfback screen, tight end screen. It needs to all come into fruition in terms of Todd Monken's offense, utilizing the wide receiver position, utilizing the tight ends, and not being so reliant on Lamar. We've gotten to that point in the offense where, yes, it's Kadeus or Lamar 100%, but let's see if we can also call plays where we're relying on our talent to be open and make space for the quarterback to make it easy, or if the offensive line can do their job and make a hole for Derek to run through.
Yeah, yards per poor contact have not been terrible for Henry so far this year, and a lot of that is staying away from the run. I'm going to do a pod tomorrow on Dan Orlovsky's ridiculous comments, and I hate doing, you know, work on somebody else's work, review of somebody else's work. You want to, as much as possible, if you want to be a football analyst, do your own first principles work, count things yourself, score things yourself, model things yourself, and you get to be a lot more respected than if you just are constantly looking at other people's stuff and beating it up and making complaints about it. But this one pissed me off too much to be out there in a space where Ravens fans will be misled by it. And so we're gonna have a little talk with that talk about that one tomorrow. I think you make some great points. I think we've kind of hammered the quick game in a lot of ways. They need to run to the degree that the Texans will allow them to run the football, mm-hmm. and they need to pass to the degree the Texans will allow them to pass the football. And in a lot of ways, the defense controls the play call. Cooper Rush is a professional. He'll be able to go to the line of scrimmage and check into a second play, but he needs to do that. And I think one of the other things the Ravens need to maintain is the ability to have run pass options that are options in play. Even though, you know, obviously that would be better with Lamar, you don't have the read option, but you have a handoff that can be faked into a pass. So that should still be an opening. Unbelievable set of edge rushers that the Texans have here. So now that'll be one of the problems that the Ravens have to deal with. And I guess that'll lead me right into the next point, that the Ravens tackles versus the Houston edge rushers is my second matchup case. These are guys who are unbelievable pass rushers. Danielle Hunter, who has been one of the best pass rushers in the league the last few years, may be headed to the Hall of Fame. And he's kind of one of those guys, like maybe Adrian Beltre as a baseball player falls in the same category of kind of a lesser known superstar who, you know, by the end of his career has accumulated statistics that are just way better than everybody else. And you say, wow, how did that happen? But anyway, in the case of Danielle Hunter, I think he's probably headed to the Hall of Fame. And on the other side, they have the great young Will Anderson, who's about as gifted a pass rusher as you'll ever see. And he's everything the Houston Texans wanted Jadeveon Clowney to be when they drafted him. And he didn't end up being that guy. Their big hope against these two is to get them to run themselves out of plays. So, you know, run the ball when out of, you know, draws, for example, where they may be baited by the tackles into going too deep on their 12 to 6 route to try and beat the tackles outside. They've got options in terms of trying to beat them, but the ball has to come out quickly, or it has to come out on, the run has to be a little bit delayed, I think, to get used from them. And again, I think RPO punishment for keying on Henry or Mitchell from the edge is something that the Ravens are going to still need to do, even though the read option isn't really an option at all with Cooper Rush. They're still going to need to hold onto the football and throw it out of a look where Henry might be getting the football. Also really hope that Keaton Mitchell is active for this game. It almost has to be given the few bodies they have there.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress, for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Actually available, they need to get him into the offense and use some pony sets and whatnot to try and do things to spur the offense that maybe weren't necessary with Jackson, or at least the Ravens didn't feel like were necessary with Lamar Jackson on the field.
Yeah, and at this point, in terms of the offense, why not? I mean, we should try everything humanly possible to see what combinations can work, what scheme could work against these looks, because when Lamar comes back and hopefully we're in a good position at that time to make a run, we have these new plays, or not new, but new concepts, new ideas as he comes back that we can insert into the offense, and the whole offense already knows it because they've been running it for 2-3 weeks, however long he'll be out. Then we just insert Lamar, and then he can learn things very quickly, so it's not a problem for him. So you make really good points there.
All right.
Moving on to my next point. Really, the big thing that we want to talk about is the developing talent versus the Texans starters, similar to what we talked about in the defensive show. Offensively, I think it's more so on the offensive line we're looking for. If we get a replacement for Voorhees, if we get a replacement for Falele, what will they look like? We'll see the left tackle longer.
No boom.
Not long. No boom. We'll see no boom if Stanley can't go. Can Roger get back to where he was last year? He's taken a little bit of a step back, but he's had some good plays. Can he string it together? I really want to see what this young talent can do. Like we mentioned in the previous segment, Keaton Mitchell, will we see him? He's another young talent we want to see. We could see Ali. I don't know why, but we could see him. And it'll be depressing not to see Tez, because this is a game where we would love to see Tez, because what do we have to lose putting him out there and getting him more looks? But if he can't go, that's unfortunate for him. But I feel like everyone else on the offense is essentially an established player, other than Tylan Wallace, really can make a difference on their own. But some of these younger players, like we mentioned, Mitchell, and then Zaire Mitchell-Payton as well. Could we see him in the pass game?
All right, Zaire Mitchell-Payton, that's certainly he qualifies as a young player. I mean, Voorhees qualifies as a young player. He's had two consecutive good games now after two incredibly awful games to start the season. I want to see more development there. I'd love to see Fa'alele take a step forward. He's not a young player in the aggregate sense. He's about to become a free agent, but you know, it would be great for the Ravens if Daniel Fa'alele were able to finish his Ravens career off strong. And he hasn't been bad this year, not by any stretch. He's been about average, and that's, you know, they're paying him as a below average guard, so that ain't so terrible. If he could get through the year playing at this level, it'd be great. If he could raise his game, the Ravens could well get a compensatory pick for him. I think he'd be a player that would be sought after. And in fact, I can see a world where the Ravens already have an idea of who they need to cut from among their defensive stars. They may have already said Roquan Smith is done, and Humphrey is done. Particularly if neither of them can really play. They might both be gone next year, both have significant dead money, but also significant cap savings associated with next year. It could very well be that they try and move on from those guys. And it might be that a player like Fa'alele, they really try and keep the offensive line together, particularly if he's playing at a higher level and can be signed to a team-friendly deal. It's not really an early signing, but it'd be the kind of thing, if the Ravens did it now, like literally this week, they might have an advantage in terms of trying to sign a guy like Fa'alele long-term. I know this is a very unpopular opinion among Baltimore sports fans, but I'll just say in a lot of ways, Baltimore sports fans have been tremendously misguided by the propensity of people to put up film that feeds a narrative. So I don't think Fa'alele has played, and I score every block and have done so for 20 freaking years. I don't think Fa'alele has played anywhere near as bad in terms of the actual results on the field than people seem to say. Now, that said, the Ravens could go out and draft a guard next year. It could be a priority. I think they will, you know, very potentially be drafting a new center to replace Linderbaum, hopefully with a second or third round pick. And then, you know, you've got the look, the other side of this coin is, the Ravens are going to really have to look at what it means to be a seller the rest of the year. They may need to do some of that to make
room. Sounds nasty. That just sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
Selling. Yeah. We're always buying at the deadline, never selling.
Yeah, but this is a year. You got a bunch of expiring contracts. You know, most contracts, they can't be traded. So, for instance, let's say the Ravens wanted to trade Lamar Jackson. Well, they can't do it because they'd have to take some enormous cap hit that would, you know, take them way over. There's just it cannot actually be done. Okay. Right. But they can trade all of these guys who are on expiring deals, because basically they get out of the rest of the year money for this year, which is usually not particularly significant, but they don't have any future obligation that gets accelerated into 2025 that they can't afford. So they have the ability to trade players like Linderbaum, Adafi Owe, Fa'alele, if there was a market for him, likely. Travis right. Jones. I'm not suggesting, by the way, they get rid of these guys. I'd love to sign them long term. Mark Andrews.
These are the assets that we have to move at the deadline. We have to look at it as a business at the end of the day. Yeah, we have feelings, but you got to make money and you got to win championships and you have to look in the long term. And as it looks right now, trying to keep this train going is going to do more damage to the train than it is going to be to the conductor. So it'll be hard with the decisions we have if this season keeps going the way it does, irregardless if we went to the Super Bowl or not this year. We were going to see a lot of changes coming in 2026 and 2027. So I guess this really just did speed up the process.
Yeah, it looks like it. They didn't have to lose everybody that's coming up, but it may be the best call to cull some of that talent because you get a better return for it now than you would in terms of draft pick. And a good example is Linderbaum. Let's say he could be traded for either of the following, either a third round pick next year, which that might be a realistic return on Tyler Linderbaum. You know, if you're in trouble as a contender and all of a sudden you lost your center and the Ravens say, hey, we got Tyler Linderbaum, I think a lot of teams would, you know, be very excited to get Tyler. But you know, we know what his weaknesses are in terms of pass blocking and whatnot, but I think that a lot of teams would be very excited by it. I don't think a third round pick in 2026 would be out of the question. And I don't think a second round pick in 2027 would be out of the question. And if you look at Tyler Linderbaum's value after he leaves the Ravens, it's probably a fourth round pick in 2027 is what you'd be looking at getting in a return for him. You wouldn't get a third because there was six of those handed out league wide. Linderbaum's as a center is not going to be one of the top salaried players. And he wouldn't fit into that category, but he probably fits into a fourth. Somebody will give him a contract pretty close to Creed Humphrey and he'll get paid. And then the Ravens will get a fourth round draft pick because of that. And, you know, you're talking about the difference between a second and a fourth round draft pick in 2027 or, you know, getting your third rounder a year earlier, whichever you want to look at, a third rounder a year earlier and a round higher.
Right.
So I think you have to take these into consideration if they come up.
And I believe they have the models put in place to really crank the numbers to understand what's going on. So I have faith. It's not looking the best right now, but starting with Sunday, we'll see where we go. And then hopefully next week we're singing a little better tune.
All right. Frazier, always a pleasure doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can reach you online if they have a question.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. Keep an eye out for these matchup shows. Tend to be some shorter content, hopefully a little bit pithier. The day before the game gives you something to listen to on Saturday, listen to maybe on the way to your game on Sunday. But we appreciate you joining us. We appreciate all the loyal listenership. If you have questions for Film Study Mailbag, any of the shows, but it does seem like right now a lot, there's an intense set of questions piling up for Friday morning GM. In particular, that people just have questions about how to move the roster around, what's the value of trade, you know, this kind of thing. Use hashtag Film Study Mailbag. It can be a question or a comment. We'll air it either way. And it could be the offense show, the defense show, could be a matchups question, could be a Friday morning GM question, could be something you want me to pose to the opposing guest for the Know Your Foe episode. So always, I'm constantly monitoring that and trying to incorporate those into the episodes. I appreciate your time that you spend giving that. For Frazier Tappar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on Matchups.